Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
It's all about the macro productions.
Flashback Friday here on Macro Aggressions, taking you back to February 2022, episode 201, Geoengineered Transhumanism with Ilana Freeland. If you're thinking of converting your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible gold and silver, talk to our partners over at Wise Wolf. Get you on the Wolfpack Auto Buy Program. You can do that at www.macroaggressions.gold. Enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morrison.
This is Mumbai Gutapi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Fredita!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macro Aggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macro Aggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, YouTube, or now band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We certainly do appreciate all of your support. And if you're looking to connect with the show, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. And speaking of this show, we couldn't do it without the amazing support of our sponsors. Chemical Free Body has been fantastic for us. They even went so far as to create a landing page that you can go to, chemicalfreebody.com/macro. And what I did is I recorded a 2-minute video for Tim James and the crew over there, visually showing you the results that I got after he put me on the 90-day gut and detox bundle. I lost so much weight that my shorts didn't fit anymore. I wasn't trying to lose weight. It just was kind of a byproduct of that. So if it could do that for me when I wasn't trying to lose weight, I'm not sure. Hopefully it'll help everybody else out there. I'll tell you, I've been taking the Green 85 every morning since he sent it. I'm not on the all the other stuff because I took all those pills for the 90-day challenge, but the Green 85 stayed. That is a component of my daily ritual. I take that every single morning. It looks gross. It tastes a lot better than it looks. Looks kind of like seaweed, but when you drink it, you'll be like, wow, it's not that bad. So if you are in the market and you are interested and you are so inclined, go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro, and on your way out, use the promo code macro to save yourself some money. And considering the current supply chain situation that we are in, I am of the belief that it is better to be a month early than a day late when it comes to being prepared. The people over at My Patriot Supply made a landing page for us as well. It's called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. And when you take a look there, you can get a 4-week supply of food. You can get a 3-month supply of food. They have all kinds of other products as well. But it's time to start thinking about this. If you've been postponing, thinking about getting storable food, and you maybe thought that the preppers were crazy, or it makes you look like a conspiracy theorist or something, we have got to get past all of that. We see what's happening with supply chain. I just read that China has closed down a couple of ports because they're concerned about, I don't know, COVID getting on cargo ships and going across the ocean. I don't know. None of it makes any sense. But we recognize the signs of this. We know that that takes a couple of weeks for it to be felt in the United States or wherever. So get yourself thinking. If you don't use my sponsor, that's totally cool. Buy extra food when you go to the grocery store. Start making this a part of your routine, because you're going to want to be early on this one. You don't want to fight some guy in aisle 5 over the last roll of toilet paper. I'll tell you that right now. So preparewithmacroaggressions.com is the website. Take a look, see if it's right for you. Well, I'm very excited about this guest because I have been watching her presentations for many, many years. And it's, I think it's always best to deliver bad news with a sweet face and a nice smile. So we have Alana Freeland here to discuss, our engineered transhumanism that happens to be coming our way. Hey, Alana, how are you? Good to see you.
Oh, great, Charlie. Thanks for having me and thanks for waiting for me.
It's my pleasure, because you've been writing about and doing videos and doing presentations and talking to the world about what is happening, the things that we can't really see, you know, like some of the electromagnetic components, the radiated skies, all these things. We get this very false sense of security, like, oh, if I can't see it, then it doesn't exist. If I can't see the 5G waves coming out of my cell phone, then it's probably not there. Well, that is the worst sort of way to approach this, because just because we can't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. And you've devoted years to making sure that we're very much aware of this. And I think that a good place to start, though we're going to go all over the place, a good place to start might be the fact that in this last couple of days, we've seen the airline industry fighting with the telecom industry about the release of the new 5G rollout, at least here. Here in America, but I think it might be worldwide as well. What is the status of that? And does the airline industry have a legitimate complaint about this?
Well, that's a real can of worms when you start looking at what the news is saying about the reason that airlines are wanting to shift the 5G burden and what's really going on. Because I spend a great deal of time in the latest book, which the title is Geoengineered Transhumanism, how the environment has been weaponized by chemicals, electromagnetism, and nanotechnology for synthetic biology. Very important. Big, long title, big, long book. Because the 5G is a weapon system. There is no question about this. It's a military-grade weapon system. And how can that be? How can that be used in consumer civilian life? Well, this is how all of the technology is now. It's what the military calls dual use. And what dual use means is it can be used militarily, depending on the frequencies, depending on the pulsing, and it can be used for civilian life, for convenience, comfort, entertainment, etc. So when the airlines started talking about this, about their airspace, hopefully everyone noticed that it was after a few pilots had died after being vaxxed in the air. Mm-hmm. They just dropped dead. So does this have to do with 5G? Well, I flew on a plane recently. I can't remember when, but in the last year. And it's all 5G now. It's all 5G in the cabin alone. for all the wireless operations to be going all the time on your email, you're on your watching a movie, mm-hmm. all that. So if the cabin is 5G, and then we have the jab situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the reason these airlines are coming forward is they're looking at massive lawsuits. If they suddenly have a plane full of vaxxed people who drop dead. And I have to put the vax part in there, Charlie, because yes. that is key to this. It doesn't mean that I, who am unvaxxed, can then drop, you know, that I can't drop dead from a 5G environment. I can.
Right.
But we have seen enough proof in the vaxxed situation to see that people are setting off Bluetooth technology by walking into a restaurant.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of transmission going on mm-hmm. with people. So if I were running an airline and I knew that they were going to flip the switch like they did in Wuhan 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and we saw what happened with that when they flipped that switch, I too would be saying, "Hey, can we make some sort of arrangement here? Because that's what'll happen. We know that the telecommunications industry and big pharma will get off the hook. Who will be left holding the bag will be the airlines." So that's how I read what has happened. And this 5G flip on, I have to also add a short footnote that my theory, and I defend it in the book, my theory is that not only was 4G plus the same kind of phased array antenna in the phone that is in the 5G phone, which means that the 4G plus was actually a 5G system. And they brought it out much earlier, and people were feeling pretty confident and good about that, which I certainly didn't after I saw the video of the electronics minded young man in France who did an entire video showing that he was breaking into a 4G plus phone and finding phased array antenna. And if people wonder what a phased array antenna is, just look at HARP up in Gakona, Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project. What it means is you can beam these. You can direct those beams, right? That's not the 360-degree type of antenna that we've been taught is the only type of antenna out there. So now we have the 5G in the LED lighting systems on all the freeways and in the big smart cities. We have the 5G pulsing out all around us, but with it is the 6G, because the 5G, as we know, millimeter wave, does not really penetrate, whereas the type of technology that 6G is, the terahertz, definitely penetrates. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the airlines, the guys who are doing this very dramatic thing of actually canceling flights. I think they are insiders. They know what's coming. They don't want to be the ones holding the bag. That's my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah. The 5G component is very troubling, obviously. The way these technologies come to market, you know, I'm not saying 5G necessarily went this route, but the DARPA investing money into it, the military investing money into it, and then at some point they find some sort of commercial use, dual use, as you say, and they say, well, isn't this great? We have the 5G part makes me nervous. The people that are involved in it make me very nervous. But the thing that you mentioned earlier that got my attention, not at the time that it was happening, but a couple of months later, once I heard news of this, was the Wuhan situation, where they flipped on their 5G right about the same time that the COVID crisis started. And we remember the early videos of the guys just falling over face first. And we, you know, and we didn't know what to make of that. I saw a guy on a bus just throwing up blood, and everyone was like, I mean, that's enough to terrify you. You don't know what that is. Obviously, they never mentioned 5G. It was, but that came later. We found out that Wuhan was the first city in China to have the 5G turned on. And then coincidentally, or maybe not, we have the outbreak of COVID. Now, I've talked to David Icke about this before. I know he sort of jumped out early on and said, hey, I'm not saying that there's a connection. I'm just saying it's reasonable for us to look to see if there is a connection. Have you found a connection between 5G and the COVID situation?
Absolutely. There is no question.
Okay.
There is no question.
Let's get into that.
But it isn't the reason that the 5G is out there. It's another reason that 5G is out there. I mean, basically, the 5G really is a tremendous boon to the whole technology of wireless technology. I mean, I get that. I get that it's a great profit incentive. I get that it's also very powerful in that you can use it in a war field. You can use it to take over areas. I mean, all you have to do is pulse transmission, pulse certain frequencies, and have a carrier frequency taking it into an area, and you can make this whole area. In fact, I think I live in one of those state capital. I think state capitals are pretty imperiled, by the way. My state capital, it appears that the pulsing frequency here was for perhaps complacency on the one hand and fear on the other, because I live in an entirely locked down, masked place. So there are many multiple uses for power mongers with the 5G. And the one for the vaccine, however, and I hate to call it a vaccine, let's call it an inoculation, a gene therapy or whatever. Yeah. If you are inoculating people with software and hardware for a transhumanist agenda, just say if, then what you're going to need is something on the outside. And that's why I've written about the environment and how it's been weaponized. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to have a system on the outside that can control that, can track it, trace it, measure it, do a lot of biometric measurement for, you know, the medicine experimentation, so-called. Mm-hmm. And once you have that system set up, then you can go in and you can trigger anything you want. You want to trigger that this person is going to be developing another disease, another set of symptoms that have probably been inserted by means of the inoculation, would be my guess. Because I think the inoculation is for two things. One, it has nothing to do with virus. We've already listened to Dr. Andrew Kaufman and Dr. Tom Cowan regarding how there is no virus. Virus is not what we've been taught it is. And infection and contagion, all these terms need to be reassessed and put straight. Now, I've known that for many years because I studied Chinese medicine back in my 20s, because I thought I was going to be one of those kinds of doctors, actually. But life then took me in another direction, and I'm not sorry, but I eat and take care of myself out of Chinese medicine. You know, I don't do Western medicine unless I break a bone, or maybe I would have some terrible cataclysmic accident and I would need to go to a smart hospital where it's loaded with 5G going on because of all the instrumentation there. So the 5G is very good for the two reasons for the inoculation. First reason being they're implanting other illnesses so that big pharma and big medicine make a profit. The whole industry having to do with Western health is based on sickness, not health.
Yeah, soft tissue cancer rates are already going through the roof already.
Yes, yes. And it's already, there are insertions going on that then go dormant until a certain frequency wakes them up. And then the symptomatology starts. And of course, the people are terrified because they're watching their delivery system called the TV, which I have never owned in my life, never owned a television.
Really? Good for you.
Or they're watching it on their iPhone. And I, of course, do not own an iPhone either, because both of those items are weapon systems. And my landline does just fine, and people can leave me a message and I will get back to them.
just like we used to do it. They used to when I was a kid, you know.
Right.
You get a hold of someone, you left a message. Yeah. Maybe you had an answering machine, like with a tape recorder or something, you know.
Well, yeah, and because convenience and comfort and entertainment are an American religion, it's a very unfortunate commitment that people have made to a lifestyle which now is passing. And that lifestyle is actually quite dangerous. So they can send you a frequency and trigger the wakefulness of whatever they've implanted in you. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other is that they're putting software and hardware in you. And I think we've seen a great deal of that, and from other people too, but the people I really like and listen to right away are the La Quinta Columna in Spain. This is a team of science guys who are constantly looking under their microscopes and finding interesting things in the serum that is being injected into people. And this is extremely important, and it's unfortunate that so many in America and other places are listening instead to the top news networks that are, you know, it's well known that the carefully coiffured news people make seven-figure salaries for reading cue cards of what they're supposed to read. So I don't see that people are really getting any type of truth there. If you think about the 5G and then you add the airline picture and you begin to realize that to 5G, our environment is weaponizing and that some very bad things could follow from this weaponizing. People should prepare themselves for that. Especially the inoculated, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Because to me, the software and hardware going into the inoculated that it will now be able to be triggered by 5G, 6G systems is all about transhumanism. It's all about changing the genetics, yes. And the genetics now, a lot of people are thinking molecular biology, but this is no longer a molecular biology. This is digital biology. And digital biology means all they need is the frequency. That's all they need in order to create disease, heal disease, make symptoms appear out of nowhere, cause heart attacks, brain aneurysms, all of it. It's all digital now. So you may say to yourself, well, how can that be? I mean, virus and germs and bacteria, these are all natural entities. Well, yes and no. Yes and no, because they can be utilized in a way by biological engineers to make other things. And that's really what Western science is now, that is bioscience, is interested in, is this idea of, yes, the transhuman who will use not not to have total robots like we see that they constantly trot out to us of this is what we're talking about when we say cybernetic and cyborgs. No, what they just want us to think that. No, what they want is a human body that can then be translated into something other than an actual human being. And that would be on the DNA level. Yes, that's true. That's where it begins. But there's more to it because a human being, as you know, there's more to a human being than simply their genetics. Mm-hmm. So what we have is for the first time, gosh, in my life, I mean, I've been a so-called conspiracy theorist since the 60s because everything was hidden in America post National Security Act of 1947. It's not a paranoia that taught me that. It's actual history. I knew about the National Security Act. I knew what it meant. It meant secrets and lies. And that's what we have. So a conspiracy theorist of yesteryear, which I was, is someone who's digging under the rug and looking for what's been swept under there, or going down into the basement of American history and figuring out what really happened to John Kennedy, who really killed John Kennedy, who right. really killed Martin Luther King. So these, you know, cut my teeth on all these things that my generation was traumatized by. And then you go on from there because it's all connected to each other, right? So yeah. Now we have arrived at a point in history in my own lifetime, because I'm that old, where everything that used to be a conspiracy theory and you sort of defensively had to justify for even thinking about, much less writing about whole books about, now is right out in the open, right out in the open.
I know I'm laughing because I've written a couple books as well. In one of the books I wrote with called The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, and I wrote it with a co-author, and the co-author, I wrote my part real fast and I knew exactly what I wanted to say, and I wanted this book to come out immediately. He was taking his own sweet time doing his part, so it took longer than we wanted to. By the time he gave me his part and I put it together with my part, I had to go back and change the verb tense, because a lot of the things that I had written that were going to happen had already happened in between the time that I wrote my part and he wrote his part. So I had to make sure. I was like, well, I guess I'm on the right track at least. So exactly. I didn't, you know, because it's like we've run out of theories. It's no longer conspiracy theories, it's conspiracy analysis, because we don't have to pretend that these are theoretical conspiracies. We can analyze actual ones. And one of the things that you said, you mentioned, we're talking about how, like, you can change a person at, you know, at the DNA level. And we also know from our experience that we have a long history of predictive programming in the media, through the televisions, movies, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And lately, within the last 10 years or so, there has been an undeniable interest in zombies, mm-hmm. to the point where Amazon has buried in, like, their terms of service a paragraph that people found and kind of said, hey, look at this, they're talking about a zombie apocalypse in there. And everyone just kind of assumed it was tongue in cheek, and it probably was. But it made me think that this is the sort of thing that these maniacs would do. Put a paragraph in the terms of service of buried in, you know, on the one of the last pages in Amazon as a little wink and nod that they know what's going on and they know what's coming this way. And that, yeah, it sounds like you conspiracy theorists with your ideas and everything. I get it. It's easy to mock somebody that says that we may actually have a zombie apocalypse coming. But when you dig into this technology, is this not a recipe for creating, like, actual zombies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, right away, I mean, what I thought of was, well, I didn't know about the Amazon, but I do know about the CDC. You can look it up in the CDC nomenclature. They too cover the zombie apocalypse. So, what I'm wondering is, because I feel like, we know that it takes Americans, despite all the press and the, well, so-called press and movies and everything else, it takes Americans about 50 years, or it has, to finally realize that something is true. It takes a half a century. Consciousness doesn't work that slowly, but consensus reality is very convincing for most people. And most of that, as if we think about it, doesn't have to do with actual knowledge. It has to do with rumors, hearsay, gossip, whatever sort of play is going on in the mainstream media, that they want the people to go in this direction or that. These are PhDs. These guys know what they're doing. And so that's why I maintain, you know, a lot of people who are intellectual and college graduates and stuff think that Ilana, we can handle TV. We can handle it. I don't think so. I don't feel I could if I lived with one. First of all, they're addictive. And second of all, the technology now is way beyond that subliminal, go out and buy a Coke at the intermission stuff, right, that we heard about for subliminals. This is where you unplug the TV, your HD or your big screen TV, and the microphone's still on. It's listening to everything you say, everything that happens. Very sophisticated microphone.
Yeah.
And the camera behind the big screen is taking everything in as well. So no, I don't think I can handle that military technology. I think thinking is the thing I would recommend, and that's what's done the least, in my opinion, in America. It's much more action reaction. Mm-hmm. It's much more sort of B.F. Skinner Pavlovian response, the reaction types of interactions, I suppose, mm-hmm, you'd say. And I don't do those things. I really learned a lot from Rudolf Steiner about thinking. I mean, I've always been intellectual. I've always been pretty good. No offense to the feminine at all. But I always call graduate school and schools the big tit, because that's where you can nurse for the rest of your life if you want, rather than really doing your own thinking. So I'm out here in the hinterlands of America, which is pretty wild and woolly and crazy because we have these massive corporations that are controlling so much of our lives that none of us really want to look at because we get such alpha wave titillation and zombification from the iPhone and the TV. There's no way we want to do without these things, because they provide us so much pleasure and sort of simulated emotion. And then, we don't have to deal with real people. And that really is good. So you see, the problem is our technology. So if we solve this inoculation, if this all dies down, other than the very locked down places that I think will probably continue as they try to insert communism as a technological type communism into these places. But say it dies down. Well, we're still going to have to deal with the technology, aren't we? We're still going to have to deal with the fact that it's out of control. The wrong people have their finger on the button. Yes. Just like geoengineering. All these geoengineered events, the various, what happened in Tonga with the underground volcano, what happens, with various earthquakes and hurricanes and storms, and all of this is geoengineered now because the wrong finger is on the button, and messages are being sent to those who aren't complying with the world plan of the globalists to completely change everything here. So, you know, technology is the name of our nemesis that lies before us. And the first thing we do is do it in our own lives, in our own personal lives, so we can take care of our health, take care of our mental health, so that we don't have somebody in our head yet. I'm telling you, I've been helping targeted people and MK Ultra people for years to tell their story, to sort out their thoughts of what's being put in their heads and what's really theirs and that sort of thing. We're all on that dock now. We're all on that dock. And that is 5G, 6G. That is how it will be done. And it will be pulsed because we're resonant beings. So let's get, you know, oh, we don't like what Ilana says, but believe me, you need to hear this so that you can start to prepare.
Yeah. Well, if anyone who's been to a mall recently or an airport, I think a case can be made that the zombie apocalypse has already started. Let's talk about those people that are in charge. We've got the World Economic Forum pushing the fourth industrial revolution. People say, what is the fourth industrial revolution? Well, it's only the blending of man with machine into transhumanism. It's not my conspiratorial little tinfoil hat brain saying that. It's their mission statement. They write about that. That's where they're going. We know who's running the show over there, I think the fourth industrial revolution, maybe a better name for this would be the Fourth Reich. We've got technocrats, bankers, globalist scumbags of all shapes and sizes from a variety of countries, big business, media, banking establishments, all of these people. If you were to put up on the board the list of all the faces of the enemies, it would be the World Economic Forum. This is the wrong group to be in charge of this. And yet it looks like somebody has made the decision to outsource the critical thinking to the World Economic Forum for some reason. This has got to be the worst idea I've ever heard. If these people are allowed to let their vision for the future come to fruition, what will it look like for us?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
It's going to look like the zombie apocalypse because so many people are going to be programmed remotely. And when I say programming, I'm not talking about conditioning. Conditioning is different. People who sit in front of their TV in general are being conditioned or have been for the last 50 years. The type of technology behind television now, I can't speak totally knowledgeably of because it's almost like there's a caveat to publish anything about how technology in TV land works. It's very interesting. One of the best books I ever read long ago, 1977 book, called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television by Jerry Mander. It was a real book, and you can still get it. But has there been another book that's been written since it? No.
Probably not.
Not since the 70s. And it went into the lighting of the TV. It looked at John Ott's very disturbing light experiments he did in order to see how you zombify people. Because you know that if you get a zombie apocalypse, two things I would look at right away. One, are they just in a perennial alpha wave state? Probably so. Number two, are they on an electronic leash that you can't see leading to a 5G AI system? That would be my vote for how this will be done. And this will be, easily done because take, the idea of fiber optics. Fiber optics, a lot of people think that's a really good way to solve our problem with the cell towers. And it's really not a good way. It's a really bad idea because those little thousands and thousands of filaments of light that are inside the big cable that is the fiber optic, each one of those can handle, I don't know, 20, 30, 40,000 different people, different homes, different places. I mean, you know, we can't see into this realm of the wave and what the wave is, what its frequency is. The carrier waves that are inside the waves that are moving the carrier waves. I mean, all of this is invisible. And if there's any blessing in this curse of dealing with this technology, it's that it's going to force us to think our way through it. You see, you can either see it. Mm-hmm. You see a bad guy coming at you from out of a dark alley when you come out of the movies. You can see it. So you can mount a defense. Mm-hmm. It may not work, but you can mount a defense. But if you can't see it, what are you going to use for eyes there? You can go out and buy a $50,000 or $100,000 microscope, perhaps, that would look on the nanotechnology level. But probably you're not going to be able to do that. And you probably won't even be allowed to do that by the people that control such microscopes. So you're going to have to use your thinking. Thinking is a way of seeing.
Yeah.
And people don't seem to understand thinking. They say, oh, Milani, you're just so smart. You're just so smart. You can do these things. Well, that's not what this is about. This is about training. What I do is about training. Training and research, yes. I can go on the internet and figure out stuff. But it's more than that. I get a bunch of ideas, and then I'm looking at them all and seeing what they have to say. And then I go to sleep at night because I'm a big believer in what the Russians say, that mornings are wiser than evenings. And while I'm asleep in REM sleep, I'm going over all this huge number of ideas, and I'm considering some of my quandaries and my questions and my lack of experience in certain physics. And when I wake up in the morning, I get it. I get it. So now I can write. That's how I do it, because I know that I have to go through my thinking. It's not going to solve everything,
right?
But it's a way of seeing into these invisible realms I have chosen to write a book on. The chemicals, they're on a nano scale. I can't see them.
Right.
The electromagnetics, waves, can't see them. Nanotechnology, I don't have one of those microscopes. I can't see them. So I find out from the best possible sources in papers, patents, etc., even films, and I take that into the citadel of my thinking, of this wonderful brain that I feel that my father gave me. He only gave me three great things, but I do thank him for this. And then I figure out how to write about it for people who didn't like science in high school. I'm always hearing, who cares? You know, and I always want to say, I don't care if you didn't like science in high school. You're living in a technological era.
Yeah.
You're going to have to figure out at least a modicum of how to survive it and teach your children and your grandchildren how to do this. It's not the child's way of thinking that I'll just sit here and wait for the experts to tell me what is true and what isn't. When experts, we already see that, don't we? They lie. They sure lie, and they lie, and they lie, because they're making a lot of money off of you, and you're being ill, and you're being stupid. That's how that works. So I can't wait for those guys. I would like to. Now, I've been a 60s person. We never trusted authority figures anyway.
Yeah.
It was number one. So I've been surprised by the so-called left now, who seem to just kowtow to authority figures.
Me too.
I tell you, it's like an inversion, isn't it?
From what it used to mean
to be a true liberal. To be a true liberal, you You didn't trust all those authority figures, you know? I mean, anyway,
that's brainwashing. That's the television. You know, if you I mean, I feel like that is television programming at its finest. And we're moving into this new era where, yes, television did a great job in digitally, you know, convincing people to think a certain way. As you mentioned, it operates on a scientific level. It's not just a box in the corner of your room that puts pretty pictures. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
Now we're moving into this new era, and we've got the new salesman for this. We've got Elon Musk, and he's pitching multiple ideas, but two in particular that concern me. Neuralink implants and Starlink satellites. And when I hear those things coming from the same guy, I put them together and I go, are you trying to create a global mind control system? Or let me rephrase this. If you were trying to create a global mind control system, I can't think of a better way to do it than that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Is that where we're headed?
Yes. Yeah. It's the nanotechnology. And, when you look into the history of the nanotechnology, the revolution, I call it the nano revolution, it occurred around 1990 for us. And it wasn't until the early 2000s that it actually made its appearance in Congress, looking for some money to back more research into it. But it's been around for about 30 years now, and the military has been all over it because it's cheap. And it is, you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly effective. I mean, the picture we were given for our pre-programming was in the Matrix trilogy. When you saw the machines, you saw what they looked like with their long tails and their little greedy, that's a nano picture of something much larger for the Matrix visitors. But for us, they're very tiny. They're basically made by laying one atom next to another atom next to another atom. So we're talking atomic level. And I always like to remind people, do you remember the last time that we as a nation or as a world were hearing about the atomic level? Well, that was the Manhattan Project. Back in the 30s and 40s when the atomic bomb was released. So this is similar. This is like another Manhattan Project coming through stealth. And it's already implemented. It's in all the refined foods that people eat. Doesn't have to be listed. You don't have to list any nanoparticles if you've added nanoparticles. And all nanoparticles are what I described as atom next to atom. And if you want to make it into a nanobot or nanotechnology, then all you do is add a transistor and you're off to the races. And now you have a communication device that people are breathing from the first delivery system being the chemical trails.
Right.
And you're breathing in how many? Oh, trillions. Trillions. And that would include mostly nanosensors, is really because of artificial intelligence and the need for big data to be able to teach these AI systems, these supercomputers and quantum computers, how to be human-like. You need a lot of data. So those sensors that we're breathing in are reporting back to a central supercomputer so that it can munch up a lot of big data for the AI thrust that we're under. Because the AI thrust is behind all of this, behind the 5G, behind everything. So if you think of nanotechnology in your body, let's go back to your idea and Elon Musk's Neuralink. When he laid out Neuralink as the name of his product and described it, I knew he was describing nanotechnology because that's exactly what it does. Now we have another picture that has come out recently, which is the graphene oxide picture. And the graphene oxide is the same thing, just magnetized, very magnetized, extremely conductive, whereas the rest of the Neuralink technology, the nanotech, like aluminum oxide, barium oxide, all the oxides that are coming down from the sky, they're all conductive, but not like graphene oxide. Not like that. That's super conductive. So do you want to have neural links that get into your body? When they go in, they're just a chemical, seemingly. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they get warmed up inside the body where there's plenty of oxygen, then they immediately start going into lattice formations. And they don't reproduce, really. They replicate. So they're all replicating, boom, 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 as soon as they get warm. And then they're all programmed to make these lattice work networks. And what is the purpose of this? This is a transhuman purpose. It's to replace our neuronal system, our nervous system, and our circulatory system eventually, as the blood now, as you know, from all these myocarditis and mm-hmm. all the clotting going on, the blood of the human being and the heart muscle that is used to pump it is under severe attack. If I were to say what this particular inoculation is really up to, I would say that it is a huge assault on the human blood and on, therefore, the immune system. And the assault has to do with eventually replacing all of that with the hardware that they're putting into us through the graphene oxide, et cetera. Now, the people who are not vaxxed might feel pretty safe at this point, but let me tell you, coming down from the sky is also graphene oxide, especially in the winter months. I know that it's used in order to create chemicalized fake snow.
Yeah, we've seen ice. That. We saw fake snow. I remember seeing it a couple years ago and thinking, well, this is not good.
Yeah, it doesn't burn. It doesn't
right.
melt.
Yeah, they're trying to light it, and then they're saying,
yeah, it doesn't melt. Okay. Yeah, and this is chemicalized snow and ice.
We know of Morgellons. We believe Morgellons is being is. Do we believe Morgellons is being ran?
Morgellons, yeah, I wanted to come to that. Thank you for that. Morgellons is the precursor for the Neuralink neural mesh.
Is it the wiring process
talking about?
Is it the wiring process?
Yes, it does the same thing.
It all right, that makes
same
sense.
Thing. It creates,
that would explain the fibers.
It actually, in some victims, they've been able to take pictures of the Morgellons in their system through their skin. And you look at it and it goes, wow, that looks like a circuit board.
Whoa.
Like forms a square or a rectangle. And you see the little, yeah, it's like a circuit board. So obviously Morgellons was the first vanguard that came through for this very thing being inoculated into people now, much more sophisticated now with the hydrolyzed this and that, the quantum dots that make it the luciferase that makes it light up and you can track these people and all that. So yeah, it's moved forward. But the Morgellons is still around. We've seen it in pictures of the mask. The black fibers have been found in the mask.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't analyze those, but if I were able to analyze those, or Clifford Carnicom would be better qualified to do that than I, and cut into that polymer fiber on the outside, you would see the organs inside of the Morgellons. So, you know, and we saw it in that, and then we saw it in the PCR test too. Where they're sticking that thing up to all the way to your pineal gland, practically. That, too, is obviously laying something in there. A lot of people thought it was a DNA test. I think most people who go to doctors should realize that they've got your DNA in spades. They don't need to find it. They've been concentrating on that for decades. So no, it's inserting something, and my guess, maybe more gallons, maybe other software, hardware, other diseases. Yeah.
God, this is, it's so terrifying. I mean, I always go back to this. This requires a ton of intellectual horsepower to come up with these ideas. It takes a lot of money, a lot of research, a lot of time, effort, everything. Just imagine if these people put a fraction of that towards making this a better world instead of
exactly
trying to destroy it with these new, I give them credit for being creative, for coming up with these ideas, but we'd be colonizing Pluto by now if it wasn't for these maniacs out there trying to come up with new devious ways to kill us all. You mentioned earlier HARP, and I want to get back to this, because HARP was all the rage for a while, and then it fell off the radar and nobody was talking about it, and they've moved on to other things. But that's when I get nervous, is when people stop talking about it. That's when I get nervous, because then I start to think, well, they're up to something else. What is the role of HARP?
It's part of a weapon system. And HARP is particularly powerful. Okay. So it shut down in 2013.
Right.
And I talk about this in the other two books. It was resurrected. And for a while, it looked like the University of Alaska at Fairbanks was going to take it over. And it was all theater. But it is completely available for, all things like earthquakes, forest fires. Why not? Why not use the incredible beam that HARP can produce, along with two other beams, would be my guess, is how they do it. They need three beams to do what they call interferometry or interferometric assaults. And those are where you actually are, because all of HARP is about scalar energy. It's not about electromagnetic energy that we're accustomed to. It's another level. And so the scalar waves are not subject to time and space the way the others are. And they can pull those out from different technologies they have around the world, such as the one in Northern Europe. We used to have one in Arecibo in Puerto Rico, but that was torn down because it looked like a total jerry rigging anyway.
Cut the cables.
And I don't know.
Didn't they?
Huh?
Did they cut the cables on that one?
They did. They cut the cables, but you know, what happened there? I still don't know. I really don't know. But anyway, HARP, though that installation up in Alaska is very large, there are other smaller installations that are on Navy ships, merchant marine ships, in various places here and there. One of the biggest ones is out at Brookhaven National Labs out on Long Island. So, they can whistle up a couple others to join HARP and all do a three beam thing over a target area, mm-hmm. and create an event. So it's a weapon system. That's what it is.
Wonderful. But
so is CERN. So is CERN, right?
Yeah.
The particle accelerators are weapons.
Well, the giveaway for me with CERN was when they had the statue of Shiva the Destroyer out front, and then they had all the occult rituals and all that nonsense. And everyone was looking around going, this is science? Are we talking about science here? Why do we have the devil and the naked ladies and the parades and all this stuff?
That's why I would recommend reading in my second book, Under an Ionized Sky. I have in chapter 9, I talk in the Temple of CERN, I call it. And in there, I point out that this is actually literally a global elite temple. Yes, it is.
Wow.
And that's from Anthony Patch. Yep. Is the person who gave me that idea and sent me in that direction. And I thank him for that.
Yeah. Anthony Patch is good friends with my good friend Kev Baker, who passed away recently. And I
Kev passed away?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
He did on January 2nd. He had a long battle with COPD. He was waiting for a lung that didn't
come. January 2nd. Okay, I'm going to write that down. Yeah. Okay, Kev Baker. Oh, because I wanted to tell you then, as long as we're on this, Billy Hayes passed away 3 days ago. Oh, do you know who Billy Hayes is?
I know the name.
He's my my harp man.
Yeah.
Without him, I couldn't have written the second book, really. Billy was my source.
Well, it's a sad time. I'm grateful I had Kev in my life. I was a guest on Kev's show once a month for 4 years and loved my brother. Yeah. And we love to talk about all the craziness and things. I'm sure your name came up in one of our
conversations. Oh yeah. And he's interviewed us several times.
We've been watching your stuff for years. The newest book is called Geoengineered Transhumanism. At least that's the short name of
it. Right.
Where is the best place for people to find this book?
Well, the usual places at Amazon and your local bookstore, who probably has a distributor who can get it. And then if you want a color copy, however, and I recommend that. I could not do a mass printing of the color copy. It would have been way off the charts for a price. But for a color copy for only $15 more than what you're paying at Amazon, I recommend going through the Rudolf Steiner Bookstore in Seattle. You'll find it if you look for Rudolf Steiner Bookstore in Seattle, Washington. And he has a whole page dedicated to the book, and we'll send it out.
Awesome. And for people that are interested in finding your work, IlanaFriedland.com is the best way. I'm going to put the links to Amazon, to the Amazon books. I'm going to put the links to your website in the description. And we're really grateful that you came on and explained this to us. Terrifying, of course, but look, we're adults. I'd rather know what's coming and make adjustments than to live with my head in
the Absolutely. Sand. That's so how I feel.
I am grateful for all of your work. And if you guys are interested, if you like this show and you want to help it grow, please share this episode with everyone that you can. It's the only way this information will get out there. Ilana, you're the best. Thank you so much. We will talk to you all soon.
Thank you.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.